For years, the American public has been victimized by the so-called cinematic geniuses, telling us time and again to see inferior movies, leaving us bitter and lost with nowhere to turn. But no more! This travesty of justice cannot and will not continue, because we now have the Cinema Giants!
Hello and welcome to the Cinema Judge. For all my regular listeners, thank you so much for showing up. No matter what the movie, you guys are always tuning in. You know how much I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Now, if you're a new listener, let me tell you a little bit about our show. First of all, clearly, we are not journalists. And you'll soon find that out because later on, I'll mispronounce tons of words endlessly. So I'm just going to forewarn you about that now. We haven't gone to any elite Ivy League school and paid thousands of dollars to have somebody else tell us what it takes to make a good movie. We're smarter than that, and so are you. Nor have we traveled the world and spoken to the old wise men and asked about the deep, hidden meanings behind Hollywood's visions. We here at the Cinema Judge, we haven't done any of these things. But what we have done is watch a lot of movies. Some good, some not so good. And our goal here at the Cinema Judge is to have one thing. That's an enjoyable movie experience. First and foremost, this is a podcast, but I've been doing this now as a cable access show for 20 years in Bloomington, Minnesota. And what we do there is the studios send us movie clips, interviews, on the set footage, and when there used to be premieres, they'd send us premiere footage. And what we do is we put it into one giant infomercial. One giant commercial. You don't hear me or see me at all. All it is the actors talking, the directors, producers, whoever, and I just make one cohesive commercial. It's that simple. I'm the judge. You're the jury. I collect the evidence. I give it to you. You make up your own mind. We will never tell you not to see a movie. If I don't like a movie, I'll let you know, but then I'll definitely say, you go see it and you make up your own mind because it might be your favorite movie because any movie is somebody's favorite movie. That's how I look at it. Who am I to tell you if it's good or not? Or have some group tell you that it's not good enough? They're no better than you or me. You make up your own mind. That's what I love about this show. Any movie gets a fair shot. They present the evidence to you. They say why. What inspired them to make this movie? Sometimes you get these really great nuggets in these interviews. They talk to you about how they created the idea, how they worked to make it happen. And in this episode, you're going to get a few of those, and I'll explain that to you later. And I love those little nuggets. And I think that's why a lot of you keep coming back. Whether you know about the movie or not, that's not important. What matters is the information they give, and then you might tell yourself, I want to see this movie. That is success for me. When I present a movie to you that you've never heard of, or you might not have ever wanted to go see, but then because of the evidence that we provide for you, you want to see it. That is what the show is all about. Movie info without the drama. If you want other people yelling and screaming, or you know, complaining about stuff, there are people very talented to do that. That's not what we do here. I just want to share movies, discuss movies, learn more about movies. That's what our thing is here. To put it simply, this is the way I look at it. This is a movie oasis. And all of the stuff going on, all the pressures in your world, you're driving to work right now, you might be at work, sitting at your desk, listening to the show, you have a lot going on. This is just about the movies. And that's what I want to provide. I'd get a deep dive into each and every movie. Because if you're fully armed with information, then you want to know if you want to see this movie or not. Not because somebody told you not to see it or told you to see it. You'll make up your own mind. That's what we'd like to do here. And there are many people out there who use this as a companion piece when they're watching a movie. Either they listen to this first and then they watch the movie. And even if you can't get together with your friends, the friends will sit around and listen to the podcast at their own leisure, but then they talk about it together, and they might even watch the movie at the same time, wherever they're located, at home or wherever, and then they all just use that just to talk about it. It's like a book club, and that's what's really great. If you could make that happen or use this that way, that's great. Be a fellow judge head, as they call themselves. Now, if you're interested in watching this TV show, go to Bloomington, Minnesota's website. That's BLM, as in Bloomington, /BTV-shows. And then when you get there, you just type in Cinema Judge. It's two words. And then a whole bunch of shows will show up. Not 20 years worth. Of course not. They can't put all of them on there. And some of them are lost through time because back in the day when we were recording them, a lot of times we had to re-record over a tape after we used it because resources were minimal. And like I said earlier, on a TV show, you won't hear any of my talking at all or see me. It's strictly interviews, on-set footage, clips, and whatever else they provide for us. But it's there to watch online, on demand, whenever you want. Now, approaching the bench today, we have the comedy Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. And the story is this. Two lifelong friends, Barb and Star, embark on an adventure of a lifetime when they decide to leave their small Midwestern town for the very first time ever. So this film is directed by Josh Greenbaum. He's directed a lot of TV. Some of his first work was from 2008, the TV show called Adam TV, did 6 episodes. The TV show Svetlana in 2010. And in between 2013 and 2015, he did a TV show Behind the Mask. And he did other shows that you might know about. New Girl, Single Parents, which I really love that show. If you ever have a chance to see Single Parents, I really enjoyed it. Fresh Off the Boat, and so much more. But the key sale to this movie is the writers. It's written by a team, a duo, if you will, Kristen Wiig and Annie Mamulo, or they also wrote Bridesmaids. So these two have worked together a lot through their career, and you really feel it, because they write together, then they act together, and you just feel that chemistry, and that's what just makes this kind of movie more enjoyable, knowing they're real-life friends, and they sat there and worked on it together. And most of us know Kristen Wiig. She plays Sharon in this movie. We first saw her in the 2000 movie Carnada, and in 2003, the show The Joe Schmo Show, 2007, the movie Knocked Up, then 2007, Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story, 2008, Semi-Pro, also 2008, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, in Ghost Town. Again, that's another one that's kind of obscure, not a lot of people might not know about it, but if you ever have a chance to watch Ghost Town, it's kind of a cute movie. 2009, Whip It. She did voice work in the 2010 film Despicable Me in the sequel. But of course, most of us know her from two of her big, big swings. Her 908 episodes on SNL. Every character. I'm not even going to lie. I am just a huge fan of Kristen Wiig. So much talent. So funny. And she could do any kind of acting, from comedy to drama. But most importantly, what a lot of people don't understand is comedy is the hardest thing to pull off. It's all about timing. Everything in your arsenal when you do comedy has to be on display. That's why comedic actors make such great drama actors. And I could go down the list of all the great converters from comedy to drama, but you know what I'm saying. Kristen Wiig has it all. She'd be a fantastic interview. To sit down with her and just get in her head for a little bit, the story she could tell, what a talent. So you combine her talent with Annie's talent, who plays Barb in this film, and she's done tons of voice work through her career, and of course her work on Bridesmaids. They both wrote that. We first met her in 2003, Melvin Goes to Dinner, the 2005 film Bewitched, and again, I could go on and on, but with these two together, they really pull off a great duel in writing. So without wasting any more of your time, we're going to play the trailer for Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. But now, here's another thing even about their trailer that sets them apart from other comedians. They kind of have a pre-trailer before the trailer. So in this pre-trailer, and I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it was really funny when it first came out. They did this whole, oh, I wish we were in a movie, and if we did, we'd do it this way, but we never show our faces. You'll hear what I'm talking about when I play it here for you. But anyway, so the first part is the pre-trailer, and then right after that comes the trailer.
Hey, Barb.
Yes, Star.
You know what I just love?
What?
Movie trailers.
Me too!
I like how they're little movies about another movie before a different movie.
Sometimes I find myself watching a trailer for a movie while I'm watching a totally different movie.
What? Me too! Barb, what if we had a movie?
What?
Then we'd have to have a trailer.
Oh, yes, listen, I wouldn't want to give anything away, though, about the movie.
Me neither, especially our faces.
Gosh, I can almost see our trailer now.
What are you doing?
Oh, I was just playing with this lamp.
Oh.
I'm Star, short for Starbra.
Assume yours is Barbara.
Nope, just Barb. Plain old Barb.
I want to thank Barb and Star for hosting tonight's Talking Club
and for making their hot dog soup.
I like the salt.
I like the hot dog.
It's not as runny as it usually is.
What is she drawing?
I
hope she gives me bigger teeth.
Love big teeth. She loves big teeth.
Even if it's just two eyes on a bunch of teeth. It would be
so nice. Look, my new phone case.
I love it!
It's like I'm listening to the ocean.
Wait, we don't have cell phones.
I know I'm going to take it home and glue it to our landline.
I'm Barb, and this is Star.
Room number again, please, sir.
611.
611? Oh, my... Barb.
Oh, my gosh, he's 611.
611? We're in 124.
Now, coming up next, we have an interview from the director, Josh Greenbaum. Now, in this interview, he talks about when he first met Kristen Wiig for lunch, and she started pitching the movie to him. It's just funny in my mind picturing these two people sitting at lunch, and here she is pitching this idea that she's been working on in her head and with her friend. It's such a cool image in my head. And just a side note here before some of these interviews start, some of the audio might not sound very crisp. That's because most of these interviews were done via Skype or whatever system they used, so it's not as pure as they usually have been. So if it sounds a little odd, that's why.
I had a very early lunch with Kristen, which was exciting because I'm a massive fan of hers. And that lunch turned out to be like, I think 2.5 hours. And for the bulk of it, Kristen was pitching me the entire film. sometimes out of order, but I was loving it and sort of tracking it all. And it was massive and big and hilarious and really out there. And I just was so excited, first of all, by her passion. I mean, it's, you know, when you see somebody who's got such an idea that they're so excited about, that becomes infectious. And so that pitch was exciting. And I said to her, like, if the script, because she said, I'm going to send you the script. I said, if it's anything as fun as that lunch that we just had, I really want to be a part of this thing. So, I read it and it was wild. I mean, it had everything that you could imagine and more.
See, now, if they had a behind-the-scenes reality show where it depicted some artist pitching their idea, writing the script, and the whole path that it would take, now that's a reality show I would watch in a heartbeat, seeing how a project goes from conception to completion. That I would love that kind of thing. Up next, though, we're going to hear from Annie, who plays Barb and also co-wrote this with Wiig. In this interview, she talks about when they originally started writing this story.
Kristen and I came up with this idea when we were writing Bridesmaids, actually. We would be writing scenes for the movie, and then we would go off on these tangents where it was like Lillian's mom. We would start writing for Lillian's mother and just have like whole tangents that we would go off on, like where her mom was talking about how she bought her whole outfit at Costco. And so we loved those scenes, but we ended up having to cut all that stuff because it didn't have to do with our story at all. So as we were cutting them, we kind of jokingly said, one day we're going to write these characters into a movie, and it's going to be Barb and Star. I think initially it was Barb and Star go to St. Bart's or something like that. And that was the first joke we made. But then we actually started like thinking about it as a movie.
Coming up next, we're going to hear from Kristen Wiig. Now, in this fantastic interview, she talks about her history with Annie and then also how the story also began.
Annie and I just have this sort of, we just have a very close relationship, and we've always been really, really good friends, and it started in comedy and sketch. And when we were at the Groundlings, we did have a lot of writing together, and the specific characters did come from a little bit from Bridesmaids. We were writing Lillian's mom. There was a couple scenes that got cut, which they didn't really add anything to the story. We just thought they were funny, about these women, you know, when they attack like this. And we just always do those voices.
Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from Jamie Doran. He plays Edgar in this film. Now, you may have first seen him in the 2006 movie Marie Antoinette in a 2009 film, Shadows in the Sun, the TV show Once Upon a Time, and from the several 50 Shades movies. But he was also in the TV show called The Fall. That is a fantastic series. If you ever have a chance to see The Fall, fantastic. And he's been in so much more. Now, in this interview, he talks about the script and how much he always wanted to do comedy. And it's so cool to hear from this guy who always plays these very particular roles and how much he really was hungry to make comedy.
I guess what excited me the most about the story was it was like the maddest, funniest thing I've ever read in my life. I've sort of always wanted to do comedy. I've been very vocal about that, and I sort of always thought I would do comedy, and then, you know, played, you know, a couple of quite dark characters, and then you sort of find yourself down a certain path and doing a lot of dramas, and I was always trying to find a way back into, or no, a way in, not even a way back, like a way into doing comedy. And then there's been a few things that I've nearly done that then I'm quite glad I didn't. And then, you know, when a script comes and it has like Kristen Wiig and Annie Mumlow on it, you know, on the cover of sheet, you're like, I knew it was going to be funny. And wasn't quite ready for how sort of insane it was. But I just instantly was like, definitely want to be a part of this madness.
Now, speaking of madness, we're going to play a clip for you coming up next. Now, in this clip, Barb and Star are entering the hotel, and when they're entering, a giant musical kicks off. Everybody's singing and dancing. You'll really get the tone of this movie through this scene, but at the end of the scene, you will hear Edgar, played by Jamie Doran, busting out into tune about what's going through his mind, and it's really kind of funny.
Welcome to Palm Vista, a Floridian paradise. All your dreams come true here.
Every drink is stirred with ice.
Nirvana.
At the Palm Vista Hotel.
Endless macaroni salad.
At the all-you-can-eat buffet.
We chop your food with passion.
We change the sheets here every day.
Almost every day.
Everywhere I look, I see official couples. And soon my turn will come around. A man must do what it takes to win his sweetheart. So I'm gonna kill everyone in this town.
And I think you can get the tone of the film based on that clip. Now up next, we're gonna hear again from Jamie Doran, and he's gonna tell us how he felt working with Kristen and Annie.
Annie and Kristen are everything that I wanted them to be and way, way more. I'm like such a fan of theirs, you know, just like beyond everything else. And you know, at the beginning of this process, that's sort of all I was, and you're coming into their world and hoping not to, you know, up. And from literally the moment I met them, they were just, they've just been so giving and open and honest and brutally funny with me, and we just had such a laugh, you know, at all stages of the process. You know, I'm used to having a laugh on set and then, you know, reining it in between, you know, action and cut, because there's drama to be told or whatever. And this is just, it's just this ongoing sort of ridiculousness, which is really fun. And as I say, like, for this to be my first comedy, to jump in with the two of them and with what they've, you know, done before, and they're like titans of the comedy world, you know, and I feel very, very fortunate to have started my comedy film life in their hands.
So that was Jamie talking about working with Kristen and Annie. Now coming up next, we're going to have Kristen when she first started thinking about having him in the movie, because like most people think, this is what kind of movie he plays. He doesn't do comedy. So this is that whole process that I enjoy hearing about. So here is Kristen talking about Jamie.
We had some mutual friends in the beginning when we were talking about him, and they were like, he's really funny. And then, you know, we would mention his name to someone else. We're like, yeah, I think he's really funny. And then we just watched interviews with him, and we were like, oh, he's really charming and he's really funny. And then, like Annie said, we met him, and did, you know, read through the script, and we were like, oh, he's really funny. He just got that dry, like there's just something, and he's so game for whatever. He doesn't have an ego about it. He's just like goes for it, and he was a dream.
Now in that same vein, we're going to hear from Annie, and she's going to talk about her surprise when she first discovered how good Jamie would be for this role.
How fun and what an incredible surprise it was when you've known someone for their dramatic work and that you've seen someone who's been known for pretty much, you know, drama and serious stuff, to have them come in and just erupt with this incredible comedic, like natural comedic timing and instincts and be so funny. It was amazing. He's a natural comedian. He's really gifted. And so it was such a really one of the best surprises of the experience of making this movie for us was meeting Jamie and just watching him go.
Coming up next, we're going to play another clip from this film. Now, in this scene, we have the three of them sitting at a bar and they're talking to a bartender. And there's this giant blue drink that he puts in front of him. He says, well, nobody ever finishes this. So if you do, there's a prize at the end or a treasure. So he puts it in front of him, walks away, and the three of them start sipping away. Bartender comes back. It's gone. And they're like, well, there was no treasure. And then they explain what they did. And what then the bartender says, well, that was a treasure. And then it kind of turns into this trippy scene. So that's the scene in a nutshell.
Ooh, George, what's this drink with the skull and crossbones over it? Can we get one of those?
It's called the buried treasure.
Yo.
No one's ever finished the whole thing. But if you get to the bottom, it's a real treasure. You sure you guys want to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love treasure.
Yes.
Try to amend my carnivorous habits. Made an
You finished that already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just for the record, we never find the treasure.
You found a little chest at the bottom with the syrupy liquid.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We licked all the syrup.
That's gone.
Yeah.
And you opened a scuba diver's mask and found the three pills?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I took a pill.
I had one.
Had a pill.
Oh, well, that's your treasure.
Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from Kristen Wiig. In this interview, she talks about the characters, where they are in the movie, and what happens to them, and what makes them want to take this vacation.
In their small town, they just never veered away from their routine. And I think when they lose their job and they get kicked out of Talking Club, I think Star definitely initiates the like, oh, well, I don't want to just make all this effort to go back to living the life we've been living. What if we like really do something crazy and go on a vacation? So when they get there, I think they've just been in this small town / world their whole lives. And I think when they get there, they're like, I mean, Barb has never seen the ocean. And just like, it's like going to another planet. They really are like aliens going to another planet. And it's nice to see the world through, you know, fresh eyes, and everything's so exciting to them. And they love their hotel room. Like everything's just comes from pure discovery and joy.
Coming up next, we're going to hear from the director. He's going to talk about the characters Barb and Star.
Barb and Star are wonderful best friends. They are from a small town called Soft Rock, Nebraska. And they live a very simple life. And I think they feel as though they're quite fulfilled and happy. But as we see in the first act of the film, there is something lacking. And their lives are needing to be shaken up. And they lose their jobs, which I think is something we've all probably had to go through at some point. They are kicked out of what is their, you know, their most social activity, which is the Talking Club. Because they broke one of the cardinal rules, they weren't wearing sneakers and not no swearing except for the F word, but they did lie. So they were kicked out of Talking Club, And I think, you know, having some of these things taken away from them, they reevaluate their lives and they realize that maybe they've lost their, as they put it, shimmer, or as other people might say, you know, their joie de vivre or their zest for life. And so they decide to go on this trip. And it's really the first vacation that they've ever gone on. And it's the first time they've left this small town. So as they embark on this journey, I think everything is, as you see, the world goes from kind of drab and still, and the way we shot the film early on was quite static and still. And as they get more and more into Vista Del Mar, we start moving the camera and the colors start to pop more. And certainly that's reflective of their own emotional experience and their growth as they go through the film.
Up next, we're going to play a clip. Now, in this clip, Barb and Star just walk into the hotel room and they're just ecstatic, so overjoyed. And it's just about their conversation about what they're going to do for the rest of the night.
Did you see that restaurant? I'm so excited. It's almost time for dinner.
And time for a cocktail?
Stop!
Okay, you go into the bathroom. I'll lay out our bottoms and tops.
You know what we should wear tonight?
Our evening culottes.
Now, coming up next, we have a great interview with Kristen Wiig. And earlier in the show, I was talking about how I enjoy hearing about how things begin. This is one of those perfect interviews where she explains the writing process. She was at her friend's house, Annie's, and they were just spitfiring. And she goes, well, I'm going to go into iTunes and type in the word cheese and see what music comes up. And then that starts off a whole domino effect of this fantastic story about, I don't know what word you want to use, fate, luck, coincidence, destiny, whatever word you want to think of. This is such a cool story about how one little pebble drop in a pond can spread far and far beyond that. Sometimes things will happen to you just by complete chance. Kind of like that movie Sliding Doors. If you've never seen it, it's kind of a fun movie. It's like how two different things could happen if something happens at a different time or doesn't happen at all. It stars Gwyneth Paltrow. It's really a fun movie. It doesn't really relate this really much to the movie, but just the concept of how one action can change your life forever. It could have went this way or it could have went that way. In a nutshell, this is a really cool interview.
It's such a random story. You probably won't believe it. Sometimes when we try to like find inspiration or just like, Annie and I are similar. Sometimes music will just inspire a character or a sketch or something. And I remember I was at Annie's house and we were writing and I just put like, you know how you can search in iTunes, you just like put a word. I put the word cheese because I just wanted to know what would come up. Like, oh, maybe some funny music will come up. And Richard Cheese came up and we started listening to his music and we were like, this guy's amazing. And then randomly I was at a birthday dinner, like a long table outside, and I was telling someone the story. I'm not kidding. And someone was like, Richard Cheese, that's his real name is Mark Davis. And he's right over there. He's at the other end of the table. We were at the same dinner. It was so bizarre. I went up to him and started talking to him. I was like, we wrote this thing and I think he was kind of like, okay, what is this? And then I don't know how much later we ended up getting in touch with him, but he just like blew us away and helped so much. And I Love Boobie Song, he just took the beginning part that we wrote. And then he's like, I wrote some other, some lyrics. And we're like, oh, great. And then he played it and we were all dying. And he was just a gift.
Up next, we're going to hear from Mark Davis, the guy that she was talking about. And this is his story.
So if you're familiar with my band, great. If you're not, I'm Richard Cheese, and I have a band called Lounge Against the Machine. And what we do is we take songs that the kids are listening to, you know, the rap and the rock and the pop songs, and we swankify them. You know, we give them that lounge feel. So it's kind of like Dean Martin or Frank Sinatra singing a song by Snoop Dogg. So one of the reasons why I'm actually here is because Kristen Wiig is a fan of Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine. It's the craziest story, and I'll tell it to you right after this. okay, we're not really cutting away to anything. I'm just going to continue telling the story, but I've never done this before. So many years ago, let's say 2017, I was at a birthday party for a friend of mine. And I'm sitting there talking, eating, drinking. There's a bunch of people there. And all of a sudden, someone at the other end of the table says, Richard Cheese is right here at this party. And I look over and I don't know what he's talking about. It's my friend's brother-in-law. And I'm like, what? What do you want? And he said, Kristen Wiig, right here at this party, has written a movie and you're written into the movie. You are a character in her movie that she just wrote. And I was like, Kristen Wiig is at this party? Like, I didn't know she was there. I didn't see her. So it was the craziest coincidence that Kristen Wiig had just finished writing the script for Barb and Star, and she had been trying to figure out a lounge singer character for the movie. And she had gone online and found my band, Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine, and she had been listening to our songs, and so she decided to write a part for me in her script. And at this party, she was telling people about it, and it just happened to be that I was at the party. The most crazy coincidence that doesn't normally happen in LA. So it was kind of insane, and I got to meet her, and she was the nicest person. And I said, if you're going to write me into your movie, great. I want to be in your movie. Let me know. I'll be there. 2 years later, I get a call, and they say, come to Cancun, Mexico. You're going to be sitting at a piano in this scene, and you're in the movie Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. And after I finished having 3 heart attacks, I packed my bag and I came to Mexico, and here I am.
And up next, we have the result of all of that drama in one little scene.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Richard Cheese.
What I really, really love when I look around this place is all the sets of boobies, and I want them in my face. Hello, boobies. I love boobies, I love gazongas, I love knockers and chimichangas, I love melons and bonbons and Winnebagos. I'll take a big chest of shirt potatoes, cause I love boobies. Thank you.
So I guess the whole moral of that story is, you just don't know what's going to happen in your life. Door A, door B, door C, you just don't know. Any day, something could happen to you where it could change your life. Keep your eyes open. It might just happen. Now, coming up next, we have Damon Wayans Jr., who plays Darley. Now, you know him from so many movies, but you first saw him in 1994 Blank Man, the 2006 TV show The Underground, the 2009 film Dance Flick, 2010 The Other Guys, 2014 Let's Be Cops, 2016 How to Be Single, the TV show New Girl, in the coming up film Cherry. In this interview, he talks about his character.
Darley really prides himself on being private, covert, and very mysterious. He doesn't want to be seen, doesn't want to be caught. He takes himself very seriously, but the problem is in the execution. He's not, he gets himself in a lot of trouble all the time. So he has plans, but the plans always kind of backfire on him. He's not really good at what he loves to do, which is being like a evil spy. I feel like he learned how to become a spy by watching like the Cartoon Network or something, because he's ridiculous.
Up next, we have a scene where Darley calls Edgar, and you pretty much get the character of Darley in this scene.
Hello, Edgar Page.
Who's this?
Never mind you.
What?
For the purpose of our relationship, I shall remain anonymous. I'm an associate of you know who.
Oh, hello.
I understand you lost the microchip. You're in a bit of a conundrum.
Fortunately, I'm the man with the means to replace it. Don't ask me what they are. That's Brevet. Okay.
You'll hear from me. Wait for my call from this private number I'm calling you from right now, privately.
Actually, no, it came up on my phone.
I'm sorry, what?
Your number actually came up on my phone.
Damn it. Well, don't look at it again.
I won't.
Don't call it. I'm very private. And don't give it to anyone.
Who would I give it to?
Listen, when the number comes up, does it happen to say the name Darley Bungle?
No. Is that your name?
Damn it.
And that scene even plays better when you can see it. Now, coming up next, Damien talks about what he thinks the audience will bring out from this film.
Audiences can expect insanity, but also heart and lots of laughter. Like, there's no way you can watch this movie and not crack up.
Coming up next, we're going to hear from Kristen Wiig. She's going to talk about how excited she is to finally have this film out for the people to see. But a side note here, this movie is now available both on DVD and on demand.
We're very excited. I mean, sad, of course, that the world is how it is and that theaters are you know, not an option for us. But we're really excited that people, you know, that people get to see it. And it is sort of like a visual escape, and it's a very silly movie. We just hope people will, you know, laugh, and we all need a laugh right now. And I think the timing for that is great, because it is sort of an escape, I think.
Coming up next, we're going to hear from the director. He's going to talk about how much he enjoys these characters.
Barb and Star are two of my favorite women, even though they're fictional. If I could, I would vacation with them. I would bring them on all my vacations. They're just really sweet. They're best friends. They're always there for each other. They really are the friendship that I think we all want. And hopefully most people are lucky enough to have someone like a Barb or a Star in their life.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our in-depth look at Barb and Star. Go to Vista Del Mar. Now, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, ways to improve the show, please, cinemajudge@hotmail.com. I can't improve if I don't know what to do. So if I'm doing something right or wrong, let me know. Or if you go to Facebook, I have a page there in a group, cinemajudge/podcast show. That would be great to have a communication with people. Come there and we could chat about movies, either shows that are happening on here or ones that you've recently seen. That would be ideal. So if you ever have time or want to, cinemajudge/podcast/show, there's a group and a page. So I want to thank every one of you who stopped by every week to listen. I am very grateful. And to you new people, thank you so much. Feel free to share this, like it, pass it on. The more the merrier. I really enjoy whenever names show up from cities, countries, towns, and somebody listens. I'm not going to lie to you. I get absolutely ecstatic when that happens. So from everybody from the United States, Australia, France, Brazil, Ireland, Ukraine, Germany, the Netherlands, Russia, every one of you who take time out of your lives to listen, if you're driving to work, sitting at home, brushing your teeth, at your office, thank you. Knowing I'm there, sitting there with you, talking about movies, I hope your day is greeting you well. And if not, maybe this will just take you a little bit away from all the stuff going around in your world. To my listeners in Minneapolis, Columbus, Ohio, Minnetonka, La Vista, Nebraska, thank you. Hoag, Ohio, Suring, Wisconsin, Washington, Virginia, Adelaide, South Australia, Spring Valley, Nevada, thank you so much for taking time out of your life. Duluth, Minnesota, Chesapeake, Virginia, thank you. Oakdale, Santa Monica, California, Kirkwood, Missouri, North Holland, Stevens Point, Wisconsin, Chicago, Illinois, Madison, Akeley, Minnesota, Rosemount, Corispanos, Santa Caratina, thank you so much. Dublin, Owanico, Illinois, Denver, Colorado, Cheektowaga, New York, did I get that right? Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Sydney, New South Wales, Vacaville, California, West Point, Georgia, Dallas, Texas, College Park, Maryland, Amarillo, Texas, Limerick, Pennsylvania, Lakeville, Minnesota, Shevlin, Minnesota, Compton, California, thank you, Orlando, thank you, Frankfurt and Maine, Meriden, Connecticut, Reno, Nevada, Alhambra, Arizona, Lower Saxony, Bradenton, Florida, Beaverton, Oregon, Burbank, California, thank you, Lubbock, Texas, Rock Hill, South Carolina, Prior Lake, Minnesota, Oconomic, Wisconsin, didn't get that one right, South Lake Tahoe, California, Dublin, Georgia, Richmond Hill, New York, Center Reach, New York, Waterford, Michigan, Huntington, West Virginia, La Canada, Flint Ridge, California, Farragut, Tennessee, Cave Spring, Virginia, Cottage Grove, Kensington, New York, Chapmanville, West Virginia, and on and on. I know I missed a lot of you, But to every one of you, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you come by again. Now, just a little side note, in case you care to look behind the curtain of my little world here. When I first made this TV version of the show, I kept mistyping the title, so I had to keep resending it to the studio. For whatever reason, when I had to type in Go to Vista Del Mar, I kept typing in Go to Visit or Go to Whatever. I could not get it right. I sent it to the studio several times because I just couldn't get the typing right. Go figure. And it happens from time to time. But usually when I'm doing the TV version of it, since there's no talking like this, I usually have tunes playing in the background just to keep my mind in a nice spot so I don't have to worry about excessive noise in my head. But that's almost like second nature. I've been doing this show, like I said, for 20 years, so that editing process is relatively second nature. Not quite, because I still pine over every edit, but not like I used to way back in the day. So usually I have soothing tunes playing in the background. So if you ever, anytime, even now when you're listening to the interviews, when I was doing those scenes, usually in the background, I always have Carpenters playing, Bee Gees, America, Bread, Lobo, whatever, all those mellow tunes from the 70s, because I know them all by heart. So when I'm editing, I don't have to try to force myself to listen to whatever, but it's just kind of a nice little separation. So that's a little peek behind the curtain. Whenever you hear these interviews, usually one of them are playing in the background when I'm making it. So if you're one of the few that stuck around and listened to that little story, I raise my glass to you. For this week's bourbon toast, it's to all you who sit and listen to the end. So until next time, be well, be good, and I'm gone. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening to The Cinema Judge.